plate a potential nugget.
Right, one of the things you talk about is managing your finances with an eternal mindset. And you say that it's different from managing them with the goal of getting the most pleasure out of them. Can you say more about the mindset shift here?
Yeah. Now, Deepak, that's really dependent on your, what I would call your worldview. And this is where I want to be really sensitive to our listeners, right? Our listeners are coming from different faith perspectives. Some are coming from a Hindu perspective. Some are coming from a Christian perspective, some Buddhist, some no faith perspective, perhaps. And that statement is written from the perspective of a Christian who is thinking that this life is fairly short and eternity is forever, and that God is personal and he's kind and loving and forgiving. But that we have the opportunity to be his hands and feet, the great healer in this world, and bring compassion. And so as a result, if that's true, then I want to use my resources in a way that are going to bless other people, because it, not only out of gratitude for God's kindness and forgiveness to me, but also because it will reap great rewards in heaven. Right. So it's a mix of loving people like you love yourself, which is living out the Christian faith, and also being good steward of the stuff we have, because it's not mine. It belongs to God and I'm just a steward of it. Recognizing that life is short. Eternity is very, very, very long. Hmm. Now, if you're coming from a different worldview, you may think differently about it. And so that comment was really designed for people who are coming from that who are Jesus followers, you know, who are thinking about life from that heaven and eternal perspective, as opposed to reincarnation or something like that.
Hmm.
How would you respond to that, though, Deepak? Because you have a broad, you know, I've studied all the faiths in India, but many of them. But tell me, how would you react to that and put it in a way that's going to best serve all of your listeners?
Sure. And there's something that came up in a different conversation as well. And as I reflect on it, the way I think about it, Lloyd, is a bit like, to use business language, it's a bit like debt on a balance sheet. You know, too much debt comes in the way of flexibility and adaptability. And, you know, a high expense lifestyle I see as a little bit of a debt. So the way I sort of think about it is, if we can keep it light and keep it as simple and declutter as much as we can, it just gives us more flexibility and agility. Somehow I hadn't processed it from a religious frame, but that's how I'd processed it for myself.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I completely agree with that. You know, back to that comment, you can't imagine the freedom you find from the things you leave behind. You know, I asked myself after a big crisis that happened in 07, 08, I said to myself, you know, this is not the last global crisis.
Hmm.
So how can I position myself to make the biggest contribution in the darkest hour? I spent a lot of time thinking about it, Deepak. I wrote down all my thoughts on one sheet of paper, but one of them was to keep my center of gravity low. And that's what you're talking about. Have you ever seen like IndyCar racing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the car is so low that it can go around corners and it's just so agile. And this is what we were doing on that trip in Germany, right? We didn't have bags and everything. We had one little bag. I want to go through life like that, don't you?
It's a beautiful metaphor. I hadn't connected the two. Yeah.
You're light and agile and you can zig and zag and you know, be optimistic instead of dragged down by all this crap and corruption we're carrying with us.
Keep the center of gravity low. I'm going to remember that. Maybe just to share a story here, one of the guests I had spoken to on the podcast was a gentleman called Nandan Nilekani. He's the pioneer of the equivalent of the social security system, if you will, in India, a sort of the unique ID project. He was the CEO of this multi-billion-dollar tech giant called Infosys, which competes with the likes of IBM and so on. And he sort of quit that and he joined this project with the government of India with, you know, a startup with no employee. So he was running tens of thousands of people, billions of dollars to a project in the government. And I asked him, you know, what made it possible for you to move from this sort of corner office overlooking a golf course to this? And he said, I come from a small town in tier two India. And, you know, if I really strip all this away, who I am is actually just that person from the simple town. And while I might have billions of dollars in the bank, just recognizing who I am and where I come from and sort of removing all this clutter from my mind gives me the ability to pivot without, you know, carrying too much of the baggage. And to me, that felt like a low center of gravity kind of a statement when I process what you're telling me.
Yeah. And I find it's harder to do than I maybe thought. And sometimes my friends, you know, that have been super successful, they'll come to our house and we bought a house 25 years ago that we still live in. We paid cash mm-hmm. for it 25 years ago. And it's on a nice lake and, you know, there's tennis court and everything, but nearby. And but they'll say, Lloyd, do you just have this one home? Do you just live here? And you know, you get tempted, right? To think, well, really, I probably should have a second, you know, something else. And every stage you're at in life, you're always tempted to go up. And the freedom comes when you go down.
This reminds me of an anecdote from Prakash Iyer, an author and former country head of Kimberly Clark in India. He was on the podcast many moons back.
Like a lot of other kids coming out of middle class India, financial goals were important in the early stage of our lives, and therefore, you know, it was important for you to kind of make enough bread and butter and some jam. But beyond that, I guess I've been swayed by this guy. You know, there's this interesting story of how Joseph Heller apparently was at this party thrown by an investment banker in New York.
This is the guy who wrote Catch 22.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Joseph Heller was, you know, but a friend of his took him along and said, come, it's a great party. You'll meet all the who's who of the city. And as he went there, it was a great evening, lots of crystal, the finest wine. And as Joseph Heller stood sipping a drink, his friend said, you know, do you realize that our host, the investment banker, probably makes more money in a day than you do, than you have in a lifetime? And Joseph Heller said, you know, that's probably true. But you know something? I have something he'll never have. And the friend says, what? And Joseph Heller says, enough. And that's a story that's kind of stayed with me. And in a sense, I think I spent the last few years of my life saying, hey, I think I need to learn to say enough. And the minute I know I have enough, you're sorted.
Right.
You don't really need to worry about it. And then you're free to go and do what you want to do. So to be fair, financial goals were important. But I'd probably say, I hit that at some stage, I said enough, and then it doesn't excite you. More of the same didn't excite me.
Personally for me, knowing how much is enough has been tremendously liberating. Not that I have an accurate understanding of it, but it's helped me move from a current plus mindset, which drives you to a pursuit of more and more, to a future minus mindset, where you have a rough sense of what you need and work back from it to organize your life around what really matters to you.